This is Dr. Vincent Medici, and I have always been a champion for Straight Talk on Health. My educations and experience are extensive and nothing short of impeccable. My ability to explore the dark closets of your healing are legion. And when you share that sacred space with me, you will know why I profess that it is God who does the healing. So together, we will remain humble and sustain that fight to the very last round. Even when we fear that God has betrayed us, only to find in that glorious end. Good morning. I hope everyone knows that was Rocky. That was Rocky 1, 1976 that movie came out, and that music is from round 14 on the original Rocky soundtrack. When Rocky, and I think the fight was on the 4th of July, was fighting Apollo Creed. Rocky was the total underdog. He was the bum in the film, as they termed him. A street guy going nowhere, and Apollo Creed gives him a shot at the title, because in America, you can be anybody. Come from anywhere, believe in any God, and become somebody. And that was the theme of the show. But to do that, you'd have to believe in yourself. Irregardless of religion, you'd have to find your faith. And that's what Rocky did in the film. Now, I saw Rocky in this dump of a movie theater in 1977 in Flushing, Queens, New York City. I can still remember the day. Just take a hint from the word flushing, you know? Everyone in New York is depressed. It's the winter. The theater is a dump. And then to this music in round 14, Rocky throws an uppercut to Apollo Creed's chin and knocks him to the canvas. Everybody in that theater, and I have never seen this in a movie since, everyone in that theater jumps up screaming. There were women screaming, women fainting. I'm 16 years old at the time. I'm screaming, jumping, I'm crying. Grown men are in tears. When I left that theater, I ran 9 miles. It was in January. The temperature must have been 10 degrees. I ran 9 miles straight home. And I ran home singing Rocky. My arms were up. My hands were out. I must have looked like a nut. And only people that had seen that film might have known what just happened. That film has captivated people since 1976 when it came out. Today, people from other countries see that film and the same thing happens. Thousands of people do the same thing when they watch that movie. Rocky's universal. And I bring it up because it's years later now and it's the same thing. I'm a doctor. My patients are sick. They lack faith. Often they think it's not going to happen for them. God's betrayed them. That's the way they think. And they got to reach down deep. They got to find their faith, and it's Rocky 1 all over again. Now, there's something called natural law. I want to see if we can get you to understand this word, natural law. And if you follow natural law, your body will do wondrous things. The job of the doctor is to teach the patient the natural laws that you'll observe during a healing. People don't understand these things. In the healing, on the other side of a suffering, you're going to find out who you are, why you're here, and what you're meant to do. That's the Rocky story, and that's the story of us all. That's the story of a healing. But who looks at chronic illness that way? It's not the way people see it. We all want what we want, when we want it, and we want it now. Healing is a detour. Healing's not part of a spiritual unfolding. That pesky symptom that's destroyed our life, that's prevented us from doing the things we want to do, darn it, damn it, why did it happen to me? You don't heal that way. We all want the magic cure, the quick and easy cure, and if we don't get it, and it's 5 years, 10 years, well, then I guess it's okay that your dreams just don't come true. Lots of people live that way. I treat people all week like that. Okay? Healing an illness is just like Rocky. And you're going to wish you were never born sometimes. You're sitting there today listening to me on this show. I know some of you have thought that way. You're going to feel like no one understands your pain. You're going to feel absolutely alone. No wife, no children, no girlfriend, no priest, no rabbi, no minister. Just you and your unremitting pain. And that is exactly when you can change your life. That's where it occurs. It's that still point, that critical moment. I wait for that in my patients. I watch them decide whether to do the Rocky thing or die. And that's exactly the moment when you develop faith. Because in that moment, you have to develop faith. And the point is, it's normal to feel all those feelings. If you feel that way, that's normal. That's okay. That doesn't mean you're not going to heal. What you have to do when you're scared, like Rocky had to do when he was scared, is relax behind your fear and your pain and then convert it to rocket fuel. And that's the story of success. Everybody has those feelings. Everybody. Do not kid yourself. You are not alone in that way. So it's to be or not to be. This show is about sleep, to sleep or not to sleep. That's the other question. Are you sleeping? So let's get to it. The rules of engagement for a good night's sleep. Number one, burn this into your memory. Sacrifice everything. Eat bad. Eat junk food. Dislike your job and your boss. Live in emotional or physical pain. Don't exercise. Drink a little too much. Do whatever you want to do. Just never sacrifice your sleep. I'm dead serious. Look, we all have crazy lives, and we all sacrifice. We don't eat right. We don't exercise. We don't do a lot of things we know we're supposed to do, and we're constantly treading water, trying to get to that place where we know we're doing what we're supposed to do, but we don't. So you got to make sacrifices. That's what it is. A mom with five kids, a husband working two jobs. Do one thing, or I should say don't do one thing. Don't sacrifice your sleep. If there's one thing in 20 years of hardball medicine, I will tell you, it's don't sacrifice your sleep. If you would ask me one factor, one variable most associated with the onset of illness, I would say unequivocally, unanimously, without competition, that one variable is poor sleep. Arrange your life around the sleep. Don't be getting up at 5 or 4:30 so you can get to the gym every day. And then you get up tired, and then you just push hard through that morning, and you spend your day semi-exhausted, but you sit back satisfied because you did those sit-ups in the morning. Do not do that if it means you're sacrificing your sleep. So how do I sum up the essence of why I say what I just said? Well, there's a gland in your brain on top of your pituitary called the hypothalamus gland. Sits just on top of the pituitary. It scans every cell of your body at the speed of light, at perhaps faster than the speed of light, identifying every malfunction in your infinitely vast collection of cells and initiating the beginning of cure. Electrochemically, it orders the beginning of cure. It runs the show. It is the crown chakra. It is the master. It is the orchestrator. It is the real focus of anyone on the cusp of understanding what the body and healing is about. And sleep is when you recharge the hypothalamus. So the hypothalamus can recharge you. You don't sleep, the hypothalamus goes into some form of a coma. It's not quick. It doesn't see. So sleep is when you recharge that so it can eyeball even the smallest shift in physiology, and then it sends out in ways we barely understand. Barely do we understand this. But we know it's true. It sends out electrochemical impulses to recharge, okay, redirect your other systems to cure. This is why head traumas are so bad. I don't want to get into that today. I'll get then into that another day. But these head traumas where the occiput and the first and second cervical vertebra, they disorient spatially. It can actually torque the brainstem in subclinical ways, meaning you don't see it or it's not something that you know happened to you. But nonetheless, your hypothalamus, because of the head trauma, falls asleep. We understand this to the point where the Germans developed machines to charge up the hypothalamus. I bought a machine years ago. I still use it today. It's called the Acuscope. The Acuscope sends an electrochemical pulse. It sends a microamperage into the hypothalamus at just the frequency that the hypothalamus operates on to recharge it when it's dipped because you haven't slept, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Now, if you've tried all the supplements on the market, so we're going to switch to my third little tidbit here. Supplements and sleep. You're trying to get sleep. You've spent 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. You've spent every single dollar on finding that supplement to get you to sleep, and you're still not sleeping. You still think you're going to find that supplement. I get this all the time. If I could only find that supplement to cure my sleep problem. Doctor, do you have anything? I mean, this is not the way you ought to be thinking. Yeah, if you've got a sleep issue, you try the supplements. You try the melatonin. You try the tranquility complex, so on and so forth. You search. But after 6 months, after you've tried everything, guess what? The problems with you and sleep are way more fundamental to the supplement. Lots of people. I don't really know the statistic, but I will tell you it's at least 1 out of 2 people that I've seen over 20 years with chronic insomnia do not solve their problem with an herbal remedy. But with the right perspective, you can intelligently use herbs to bring your body back into balance so that the sleep will be restored. I've counseled dozens of people back to healthy sleep patterns, not with specialized herbal remedies, but simply by using herbal remedies to bring organ systems back into optimal function. It's a big difference between those two perspectives. So looking for that single herb at a certain point is not what you want to do. And a lot of you, you have to stop creating anxiety because you have not found that herbal remedy. And you're innocent enough, and it is innocence, to believe that you just have to keep looking for that single cure. You think it's about faith. In this case, it's not about faith. It's about lack of knowledge. You see? It gets to the point where you're not sleeping because you're out all night searching for remedies to help you sleep. Now, what about a more fundamental approach like biliary patency? Did you notice I didn't say the coffee enema? I didn't say gallbladder flush. I didn't say liver gallbladder nano detox. And I hope you know why I didn't say that. Because you've listened to enough shows by now. You've gone to the website, straighttalk.cc. You've archived up the shows. I kind of know who you are. And you know that there's a line across which you'll see a dramatic shift in your body. And that line, when you do the coffee enema and the gallbladder flush, is when the bile gushes out of your body. If you're doing these things and you don't see yellow-green fluid shoot out of your body as you do the enema, as you drink the olive oil and the next day you look into the toilet, if you're not seeing lots of yellow-green liquid, you're not there yet. And if you don't get to critical mass, you're not going to feel the effect, not the dramatic effect. But what does that have to do with sleep? I could do a whole show on what I'm going to tell you about biliary patency. That's why I did a whole show months ago. If you knew, biliary patency, meaning the bile flows freely, is one requirement for a good, long, deep sleep. When the liver is burdened by digestion, repressed anger, volatile anger, chemical toxicity, the liver does 1,200 things. When the body's going into mega acidosis, a super low pH like 5.8 to 6, coma time, the gallbladder is used by the liver as a passage to remove all the inflammatory, heat-producing variables from the blood, and then it flushes it out of your body. So the liver sees the heat in the blood. It comes to the liver, you flush to the gallbladder, and out of your body. But when the gallbladder's too plugged, the liver overheats.